to introduce our pastor, Mr. Tim Hughes. Came, swam all the way from Lakey just to be here.
Well, it was high in a few places. That is definitely true. You know, and that's as I came, I don't know if I need this, but there, is that? Is that a little bit better? Okay. All right. I'll go ahead and answer that question. Yes, the river is up.
Are you going to make it back?
Well, we'll see. You plan these things out, and I left early and came around through Uvalde, which usually is not the route, and thought I was doing well and got here in town, and there was the train. And I thought, I'm going to be late. So every time you think you got it planned out, something comes up. But I do want to thank you all for the opportunity to be here. And, of course, Brother Cliff, when he asked me to come and speak this morning, I very excitedly said yes. And my relationship with Brother Cliff, if you don't know, I'm the director at Alta Frio Baptist Encampment, and Brother Cliff sits on our board. And serves that. So I've known him since I've been here almost 5 years now. And my first encounter with Brother Cliff was when they brought me in to introduce me to the board. And he was there as one of the board members, and I got to share my testimony and my ministry work over the years. It's always been in camp ministry. I feel called to that and have had the opportunity to do that now almost 30 years. And so as I shared, of course, questions, you know, it's kind of like calling a pastor. You want to make sure you got the right guy. And so they were asking questions and things were going on. And there was just a little bit of a lull in a moment during that time. And over, they sat around tables. You know, you walk in and there's about 30 or 35 people sitting around tables getting ready to ask you a lot of questions. You get a little nervous. Well, Cliff really hadn't said anything during the whole proceedings at that point. And he spoke up at that moment and he said, I don't know what the protocol is here, but I've heard enough. Let's vote. And when he said that, you know, you could take that two ways. It's like, true. So, needless to say, it was all good. And they voted and called me as the executive director at Alta Frio, and I've been serving there. So that was my first encounter with Brother Cliff. And I wasn't sure which way he was leaning, but he made it very apparent that he was in favor of my coming. And so when he asked me to come here, I said definitely wanted to come be here. And speaking of Brother Cliff, I want to take just a moment to lift him up and the family up in prayer right now. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And first, we just thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, just to hear your word. I pray that you will just speak through me, open our hearts and our ears to your leading. Father, I pray that you'll be with Cliff right now and the family. I pray that you just hold them close, that they just feel your loving arms wrapped around them, and that they just feel that peace that only you can provide. Father, I pray that you just continue to bless and watch over. Pray for this congregation, just again, to feel your presence. And Father, we thank you for the mercy and grace that you show us daily. And again, we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. This morning, I would like to share with you all out of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 5 through 8. And I'd like to read those this morning. 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8. It begins, "But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Those verses, and you've probably heard those used before, especially verses 6 through 8. And of course, this is Paul in his letter to Timothy, basically telling him, my time here is almost done. And he's saying, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. And I'm waiting for that reward that's coming to me. And he's going to claim that reward. And so Paul is telling Timothy, my time is done. Now, this morning, though, a lot of people use those verses. I want to back up and use verse 5. And you may ask, well, why is verse 5 so important? Well, if you know the relationship between Paul and Timothy, we know of Paul's mother and grandmother, but there's not really anything said about his father. And you see this relationship between Timothy and Paul being a father figure for Timothy. So there's two letters where Paul is giving Timothy counsel and encouragement and teaching of his ministry to come. And then in verse 5, it comes to this point where he has given him encouragement and warning. And I kind of like to think about, you know, in the movies, you see that scene played out where there's the father or a father figure. It may be in a battle, you know, in a war movie, or a father laying on his deathbed. And there's that moment where he calls in his son. And there's that statement that he makes his whole life, and he's got one statement to give his son to say, out of everything I've taught you, out of everything that I've ever said to you, this is most important. And it's that statement, kind of that, I'm getting ready to leave. Remember this. And so that's why I think verse 5 is so important, because in these two letters, Paul has been telling Timothy all these things, and then verse 5 is the very last thing in the letters that Paul tells Timothy. And it says, but you keep your head in all situations. Now, as I said, I have been doing camp ministry. A little bit of my history. I grew up a preacher's kid and also a camp kid. My dad was a pastor and directed a camp. I grew up there. So I've never, I always kind of jokingly say, because I went through school and then right in, stayed in camp ministry. So I've really never had a real job. I know how to build campfires really well. I play ping pong really well. You know, just those camp type stuff, you know. Actually, there's quite a bit more to camp than that. So, but those things, that idea of keeping your head in all situations. Now, Alta Frio, we can house about 1,100 students at one time at camp. We average during the summer, you know, 700-800, something like that. So if you all can imagine 700 or 800 teenagers or kids, that statement, keep your head in all situations, takes on a whole new meaning. You know, when it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you get a phone call that you've got a student that has decided he's ready to go home and he's headed off down the road, you begin to think, how do you handle this? Well, Paul says, keep your head in all situations. God gave us common sense. God gave us a brain, but he also gave us the Holy Spirit to give us discernment. And that's where we look for that keeping our head in all situations. The next statement says, endure hardship. I'm sure there are many burdens here this morning that we all carry. God didn't tell us being a believer was going to be easy. Matter of fact, Paul tells us many times of his suffering. And if Paul suffered as strong as a believer as he was, and as faithful as he was, we're going to face hardships. You know, again, I go back to the camp work. You know, this summer, some of you may have heard, I don't know if Brother Cliff shared this or not, but one of our biggest weeks, I got a call at 4:30 in the morning. It seems like this stuff always happens, you know, in the middle of the night. But one of our maintenance guys said, we are almost out of water, which is kind of ironic this morning, as much water as we have falling. But the water table was low and our wells were pumping, but they just couldn't keep up. We had, again, about 800 people there, and we began working through. This was on Tuesday of camp. We ended up Tuesday afternoon, our tanks went dry. With 800 people there, we had to gather all of the sponsors together and say, we have to make a decision. Our wells are pumping, but they can't keep up with the demand. We have some contingency in place. We've got some water coming. But basically, what do you all want to do? And at that moment, a gentleman stood up and he said, could I say a word? And again, it's one of those moments you never know what's getting ready to happen. And so he stood up and he said, I just returned from the mission field in Madagascar this spring. And he began to share what it was like being on that mission field. And he said, you know, they're telling us they're getting water for us, going without water. And basically he challenged every adult there to see this as a missions ministry moment. What do we really suffer here in the United States? Do we really understand what suffering is for the Lord? Yeah, a little bit maybe, but not really. But understanding that enduring hardships is part of our walk. And it's through those things and through like that gentleman standing up and saying, let's serve the Lord during this. And what happened out of that, instead of a group of people saying, you know what, we paid good money to come here and you don't even have water, we're going home. They stayed. And through that, we saw God move that week. And just this last week, I was talking with a friend of mine who's in seminary. And he was in seminary in class during this time period. And what I didn't know is the pastor of one of those churches was also in that seminary class. And he got word, camp's out of water. But then he got word, we're staying. And here's what's going on. And so he was able to then share with that class, look what God's doing in spite of, just like the song said, where we thought I thought I was going to send all those kids home and miss an opportunity, but instead God used that and it became one of our best weeks of camp. And again, the way God works, by Wednesday morning, we had water enough to continue to operate well enough. And by Wednesday afternoon, we finally said, okay, everybody, please go take a shower. Okay, so. But looking at that as far as enduring hardship and realizing what takes place through those things, the next statement that Paul makes is do the work of an evangelist. Well, again, I'll go back to camp because that's what I know. During the summer, we have somewhere around 5,000 to 6,000 campers that come through. And one of the things I always like to share with our churches, because you all are one of our supporting churches, and your giving and your support helps that. Well, this year, we had a little over 400 professions of faith through the summer. And so, you know, this morning I got the chance to come here and share the word. And I usually don't do this. And you all might be going, yeah, we can tell. There you go. Thank you. And I even got over here. You said I didn't even know you did that. And I'm like, well, you know, occasionally. But usually I'm not. Usually I'm behind the scenes. doing work and those type things. But realizing, and this is one of the things with our staff, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 high school and college age students that come and work with us during the summer. And really, that's a big part of our ministry as well, pouring into them and getting to see them serve and realizing the impact that has through that. And letting them understand, you don't have to be standing up at the pulpit to be the evangelist. Matter of fact, every one of us is an evangelist, whether you're a banker or a school teacher or a rancher or a Walmart worker, wherever you are an evangelist. And so our testimony and teaching these students and doing that work is then sharing the gospel, discipling, and seeing that evangelism continue to spread. I mentioned my father, who served at a church about this size through most of his time pastoring. I think he was there around 25 years. He passed away about 20 years ago. But he also served at the camp as well for about 20 years. God placed him there. Small associational camp that housed about 100, 120. And that's where he served. And in earthly terms, we may look at that and go, was he successful? He never served at a big church. He never, realizing that I could not begin to name the number of men and women that made professions of faith, surrendered to full-time Christian ministry, myself as one of those. I am very honored and humbled that my oldest son this last summer served as a director at a camp up in Spokane. So the generational evangelism that takes place, and a man, again, serving in a small church at a small camp is now impacted not just tens of thousands of people, but hundreds of thousands of people through the ministers that have gone out under his discipling over the time period. And so, again, it's very easy for us to say, I'm just Tim. I'm just Tim. I don't, I'm not a great speaker. I'm not, definitely not Billy Graham. But that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be us. And through our work and through our lives and through our testimony, that's where our evangelism takes place. And then the last part there, it says, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Well, that means finish the job. I'm 51. Some of you would look at me and go, oh, you're just a young kid, And then some of these young guys sitting over there, looking at the old guy up here. So it's all a matter of perspective. We have a job to do. We are all given that job. Discharge the duties of your ministry. In camp work, you never know what's coming. You never know. And even as the executive director, that great title of executive director, I figured out that executive means whatever. Because when you're sitting in a staff meeting and one of the maintenance guys comes up and knocks on the door and kind of looks in and goes, I need to talk to you. That's never a good start of a conversation. Because what happened in that moment is Bubba, who was our maintenance guy that came and asked me to come here, and he said, my golf cart is in the sewer pond. The sewer pond? The sewer, yes, sewer pond. Let me go back to keep your head in all situations. I sat there for a few minutes and go, how are we going to deal with this? So we go out there because we have our wastewater treatment plant. Again, having that many people, we have to process that. So we go out and look, and there is his golf cart about 10 feet into the sewer pond with about that much of the canopy sticking up out of the green water. First of all, nobody wants to go in there, so that eliminates just swimming out there and figuring out what to do. We ended up figuring out, let's get the John boat, and maybe we can reach the hitch on the back and get the backhoe and pull it out. Pretty good plan, except for one thing. We got to look in, and where it was setting, it became apparent very quickly that someone with pretty long arms is going to have to be the one to reach down in there and get that out. Now, I don't know if you all have noticed, but I'm kind of a tall guy. Long arms and legs. And so until you have... Yeah. So, yeah, and everybody wants to be tall until, you know, those moments. And so until you have been your face about that far from a sewer pond as you're reaching down, hoping that you fill the hitch and you catch it, you never know what your ministry is going to call you to be. I will let you know, I was able to get the rope on the hitch, and we got it out, and Bubba continued to use that golf cart till he retired, and then we retired the golf cart. So, in saying all of that, going back to that verse, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. And we do that because, and we'll go back to verse 8. At the very end, Paul says, he's talking about himself, and then he says, and not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We do those things. We follow through on those things because we also have the opportunity to claim that same reward that Paul was talking about. And as we do these things, realizing that is our reward and that we finish strong, we run the race, we fight the good fight. And that's my challenge to you all this morning, is to remember that verse, verse 5. Fight the good fight. Let me say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you and just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Father, we just, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for your guidance and your leading. We thank you for Paul's writings here, not just to Timothy, but to us. And that we're able to do these things and serve you. And know that you're pleased with our efforts. And again, we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Go ahead and close with Just As I Am. If there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the hour is not too late. You still have time. Ask Him to come and live in your heart. There's still room at the cross. Use this time, song as a time of reflection. If you have something in your life you need to get straight with the Lord, take this time to get it straight with Him.